They further pointed out or have the position and opinion that the requirements we're requiring aren't necessary to meet MEP or the maximum extent practicable. Our position is that the control of hydro modification is necessary to meet maximum extent practicable standard and to provide long-term watershed protection. As I said, the city is going to present its case today, but I want to encourage you to keep in mind what is really at issue here today. And today's decision is really a question of whether the stormwater management plan meets the maximum extent practicable standard. It's not a decision about a specific set of criteria. It's not a decision about the February or an evaluation of the February 15th criteria, nor is it an evaluation of any criteria that they have yet to produce for obvious reasons. It's a question of whether it meets, as a whole, does the stormwater management plan meet MEP? And we have been working out that definition and our understanding of MEP for several years now through this process. And I think it's quite clear that maximum extent practicable really is an array of best management practices that support healthy watersheds. Practices that maintain natural runoff volumes and rates, that maximize infiltration of clean groundwater or clean water to the ground, that minimize pollutant loading, and practices that protect riparian habitat. So, does the swamp act in fact meet the maximum extent practical standard? Currently, the city of Lompoc relies on detention basins and an existing flood control infrastructure. And the National Academy of Sciences National Research Council just produced a report released on Wednesday that concludes that the practice of designing detention basins on a site-by-site basis has been ineffective at protecting water quality and receiving waters. It can be risky to apply a broad conclusion like that on a national level to an individual city, but the fact is we don't have any supplemental information on the local conditions to refute this. So we need to make a positive step toward controlling hydro modification and approaching water quality protection in a more proactive way. The board's action today would be to require the city to commit to developing hydro modification controls that are necessary for the swamp to meet MEP. So it is our recommendation that you adopt resolution number R32080071, which is actually the resolution we're considering adopting, is in supplemental sheet 3. It has had some revisions. Those revisions should be highlighted for you. The resolution would approve the City of Lompoc Stormwater Management Plan, and it would enroll the city under the Phase 2 general permit. I'd be happy to answer questions for you.
Dr. Hunter.
Just referring to the last statement that the revision should be highlighted for us. In reviewing it, I really couldn't see where those revisions occurred, and so if you could just give me a few pointers so make sure I see them.
Yeah. Actually, let me get out of this slideshow. I'll bring it up on the projector, but also supplemental sheet 3 contains the revised swamp or the revised resolution, and the table has all the changes accepted. So if you look at supplemental sheet 2, you'll see the highlighted changes that are tracked with underline and crossed out.
I did notice that. Okay. And so that I was looking for the same kind of indication in the text. Okay. In 3. And just a comment, Dominic, I think the organization and presentation of this particular stormwater management plan, tracking the process and helping us to really organizing the comments from the cities and the city and the other stakeholders, is just really well done. I just want to tell you I've been able to really, I think, follow your process and efforts to be responsive, so I really appreciate that.
Thank you. So on the screen, I went ahead and brought up the resolution, which will be the subject of your discussion deliberation. And the one new component is finding 12, which addresses directly a comment from the city that the regional board address the factors necessary to when adopting water quality objectives. So that finding is new. It's number 12 in supplemental sheet 3. The other changes are still highlighted in this version, and those include change in the table of required visions here, number 7, which is to add some description of what we expect to see on relative to illicit discharge detection surveys. There's another, again, these changes are highlighted in supplemental sheet 2, and there's another revised language for the best management practice we're requiring, number 19, and the addition of required revision number 21. So unfortunately, you have to go between the supplemental sheet 2 version and the supplemental sheet 3 version. But I do have in this slide or in this document the all the changes identified, so we can go to those if we need to.
Just to be sure, the printout version that we have in supplemental sheet 3 that includes the resolution, the revised resolution, I have a total of 15 points, but they're not in a track change mode, so I just want to be sure I'm looking at the same thing you showed on the screen. 15 points total.
You're looking, the hard copy is a accepted version.
That's my
accepted changes version of that.
Okay,
sorry,
very
if that's
good.
Not clear.
Yeah. Thank you.
A couple other things, Mr. Chair.
Sure.
Dominic, you were going to talk more if when you had a chance about the CCAMP data, which is for some folks here. I'll talk English. Central Coast Ambient Monitoring Program is our regional monitoring program for the region. And as Dominic said, part of our retooling our strategy was to incorporate CCAMP data for each one of the municipalities and make sure that the water quality issues that we were aware of were being addressed by the stormwater management programs. And so, as Dominic had in his slide, that was one of the reasons for requiring, in terms of our recommendation, some additional emphasis due to CCAMP data. Also, while Dominic's looking for that, a couple other things. It was a little difficult to find the February 15th letter and also the July 10th letter. Is attachment number 9, which is towards the end of the staff report, but we do have that follow-up letter in your packet as well. And we did send those letters to the board at the time for the board's information in terms of the mass mailing that we were providing to all the municipalities. We copied the board on those as well. The National Research Council report that Dominic just referred to that just came out last week has another aspect to it that I guess it's an add-on to what Dominic was talking about, and the information that the National Research Council released as a summary of the report. The report itself is 513 pages long, but in the summary it says, to provide meaningful regulation, all stormwater permits should be based on watershed boundaries, and moreover, the program should integrate stormwater management and land management practices and focus less on chemical pollutants in the stormwater and more on the increased flow of water. And they go on to talk about some of the difficulties with hydrology and geomorphology because of increased flow of water from land use practices. So it does seem to be supportive of what we're recommending throughout our region for our municipalities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Roger, I also included a few excerpts from the report. That's the report title. As he mentioned, it was released on Wednesday. And if you aren't familiar with National Academies or Research Council panels, they basically put together the very top-notch folks in the country to address specific questions. The specific question for this group was whether or not the US EPA's program for managing stormwater is effective. And so one of the findings, in addition to what Roger was pointing out, really spoke directly to the issue of flow and related parameters like impervious cover, and indicate that they're appropriate proxies for stormwater regulation. Another chief finding was that individual controls on stormwater discharges are inadequate, and I think this leads to into what Roger was pointing out about the what they recommend is appropriate or more watershed-based approaches. Watershed permitting is a central theme of their conclusions. Stormwater control measures, SCMs, that harvest, infiltrate, and evapotranspirate stormwater are critical to reducing the volume and the pollutant loading of small storms. This is a tenet that is central to our requirements for hydromodification control. And in addition, they agree that the retrofitting of urban areas does present unique challenges, but there are benefits that aren't necessarily being considered in the cost-benefit assessment of those. So back to the what we started with, though, the CCAMP data. I do not have it with me. We reviewed it in what I described as a mini water quality assessment. That's been it's the first phase of our enrollment cycle. Water Board staff gets together all the programs with relevant program roles within a community, and we discuss what we know about water quality conditions. Our CCAMP staff were at that meeting. They brought the data, and what we determined was that there are no CCAMP data that point to a particular urban stormwater runoff problem. But you need to bear in mind that the CCAMP data do not look at the conventional suite of urban pollutants. For example, they don't look at PAHs, they don't look at a lot of the dissolved constituents from urban runoff, and they don't look they don't track the metals component, which are components commonly found in runoff. They also don't quantify or characterize the trash, but CCAMP staff have identified trash in that particular area. One of the areas that the CCAMP data was very useful was in resolving whether or not the city of Lompoc is a significant contribution to the impairment of the San Ynez River for sodium. And the conclusion is that it's not, that there's enough background and sources upstream that account for the levels seen in the CCAMP data. So we actually were able to, in effect, exonerate the city from contributing to that impairment through that data, through those data. So I regret that I don't have the data with me. If we were back in San Luis, I'd pull it up on the web, but I don't think we're connected here.
Okay. In looking at the July letter that staff sent out, I believe that's attachment 9. I just want to highlight that staff did present a fairly lengthy set of examples of hydro modification criteria examples that can be used. It's kind of a point of discussion, a starting point that's fairly detailed. And that is what I think it is, correct?
That is what it is.
Yeah.
It's an example approach. At one point I was calling that a framework because I thought of it as a conceptual model for arriving at appropriate quantifiable measures, but that's a little bit too lofty perhaps for what it is. It's a set of examples, and it's an explanation, and an appropriate elaboration of our concept of healthy watersheds. It tries to break out the desired conditions of healthy watersheds so that people who are having a hard time understanding why bother with this hydromod, why bother with quantifiable measures, it really provides them with a little bit more to go on. So we identify parameters that we feel are appropriate for selecting controls on. We consider there to be four principal desired conditions in healthy watersheds: rainfall and runoff that are maintained at their natural levels, the maintenance of a sediment regime that's both supplying and transporting sediment within natural ranges. Of course, natural ranges in the Mediterranean climate here are quite varied. We also believe that infiltration rates and groundwater flow and recharge, inner flow, base flow, are all components of a healthy watershed. And finally, the riparian and aquatic habitat conditions need to be optimized for watersheds to be characterized as healthy. We're not saying we know specifically what those thresholds are, but we definitely know that these are the parameters that need to be evaluated. And when you don't know precisely what your threshold should be, it seems appropriate to choose something conservative and start there and refine as time goes on.
Have you taken a look at the city of Santa Barbara's proposed criteria?
Yes.
How does it look?
Well, I actually consider it to be a somewhat elegant solution to the need to develop interim criteria. It simplifies the actual numeric criteria selection by choosing some conservative estimates or conservative parameters for volume retention. And it proposes that either that a developer can choose between capturing and retaining on-site the difference between the pre- and post-development volume for the 25-year event, or for a capturing the volume for a, I think it's a one-inch storm or approximately an 85th percentile storm. Somebody knows probably. But it's a small storm. It's basically capture that volume. That might not be enough in terms of protecting hydromodification, but combine that with their very well-developed approach to applying and requiring best management practices, their LID features. And I think that combination is a reasonable amount of insurance, offers a reasonable amount of assurance that we're being protective of water quality, both from hydromodification effects, those erosivity effects, and from the treatment, the quality component.
And I take it that they've accomplished that, obviously, since the July letter went out.
No, they've been working on that for a while, and the staff at the city will acknowledge that it took them time and effort and money, consultants. But the nice thing about it and the nice thing about City of Santa Barbara staff is that they've offered to share as much of that as they can. And I frankly think there are big chunks of it that are transferable. And from my point of view, you know, as a preliminary judgment, I would say that we would entertain that kind of proposal with a lot of positive reception, but we need supporting information as well. We also pointed out to the City of Santa Barbara in our drafted approval of their plan that they can't stop there. They need to actually develop some substantive basis for hydromodification controls at some point. And so they plan to do that over the first few years of their five-year term. And so they'll be continuing to evaluate whether what they're proposing to do works and collect additional information about their stream conditions to determine whether there are some streams at risk that maybe need more protection. And that protection can come not just in the form of reduced runoffs, but it could potentially come in the form of grade stabilization. They actually have projects and creeks in the city that could benefit from grade stabilization projects.
Dr. Hunter?
I just wanted to be sure I was looking at the same attachment. Are we talking about attachment 9, July 10, 2008, in terms of setting out examples or suggested models for cities to consider? Is that the letter?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Also along those lines, to provide a little context for that letter, after the February 15th letter, as Dominic pointed out, we had a lot of consternation about that from the municipalities. And so I and the staff went south to meet with a group of public works directors. We went north to do the same thing. And we listened. And this letter was basically in response to those meetings and not everything that they asked for, of course, but we tried to be responsive and provide additional flexibility in the timing. Time for the interim criteria for hydromodification, legal authority, and these examples, I think, were the main features here. So we did have quite extensive effort to talk with everyone, find out what their tough spots were, and then react to that with this July 10th letter.
Okay, and I'd like to talk about a specific BMP, if I could.
It's certainly.
3.4.3,
okay.
Education and schools. And I noticed in there that there were questions posed to the city about how they selected the 100 or the number of 100 students to be presented materials, and staff had asked for details about how many are there, is this K through 12, et cetera. I don't see the materials that are in our staff report that we have any answers to those questions. Have you seen any?
No, we haven't been presented with any additional information from the city. I think that was an example.
Well, it is in the revised BMP. In other words,
right.
Staff wanting the details put into the swamp.
Right.
Which I agree with. But it
But no, we have not been presented with any additional information.
I mean, you know, if you start to think about this, you're trying to use education as a means to change behavior with kids, and I just wonder, you know, like staff did, how many are there altogether? Is 100 just a small percentage of the total? Is it really an effective BMP at the level that they're going to implement it? And there really isn't enough information there for us to be able to evaluate it at this point in time. Even with the revised BMP requirements that staff is proposing, we're not going to know until, I guess, the first annual report when we get answers to those things. I'm willing to wait for that to see what happens, but I agree with staff's revision completely. And it also leads me to the overall concern about what is the best way to approach this through the swamps, and maybe some type of standardized approach to educating school-age children should be utilized. You know, when are they most receptive? How can this be incorporated into, you know, their curriculum?
Mm-hmm.
And really, what's the best way to do this? If it's going to be done in a way that is half-hearted, you know, maybe it shouldn't be done at all. But I'd rather see that the opportunity be fully utilized, that it's really going to produce some, you know, tangible results.
I think one of the advantages that Water Board staff have is that because we're reviewing annual reports from all of the communities, or we will be at some point, we're going to have probably the most comprehensive knowledge of the kinds of measures that are being taken, the effectiveness of those different measures, and different ways to improve them and the appropriateness. And so I would imagine that this is an area where our annual report review process, our audits even, can really bring to bear that knowledge and help the cities in some cases. I also think it's incumbent upon the city to do its very best in finding that information as well. And I haven't really gotten the impression from City of Lompoc that they don't intend to do that. But they are a very independent city, and I could see them perhaps missing the opportunities, and that would provide us at the annual report stage to present them with all the possibilities that exist for them, and then to increase the requirement in effect,
or
at least to clarify.
You said it's your impression they do not intend to do what?
I said that they are an independent city. They
right.
have a strong
Prior
individual
to that.
Identity. They're special, and I think that they are not disinclined to go and find that information.
Okay.
I've never had that impression that they plan on just becoming isolationist in their educational program. So, but on the other hand, because they are isolated to some extent geographically, it provides us with an opportunity to provide that kind of assistance. We've also, you might recall that we've included an expectation, a requirement that they actually investigate something called community-based social marketing, mm-hmm. which is becoming more and more popular in various kinds of public outreach. And it's really a different approach, and I think the city has indicated their willingness to explore that, to actually accept this BMP. And I think there's possibly some perhaps some good insight into what is effective at that age group using some of these newer techniques for marketing.
Dr. Hunter?
Thank you. Yeah, I have a couple thoughts on that as far as an approach that would be more systematic in terms of curriculum. We may find that EPA or State Water Board may actually have something like that in the pipeline, because this is statewide. For EPA, it's national, and they tend to use their resources to develop at least models or templates. And well, California has its own standards for science and grade level and so forth, and that always enters into it. It would be interesting to see if they have anything to offer, because typically they do, and it's usually pretty good. Mm-hmm. We also might consider how our LID center could, conduct searches for good examples, not only of stormwater curriculum, but watershed management. And I'm aware in the state of California, there is one high school that I'm aware of that has a watershed management component that is recognized as being really well done. So there may be some models for us out there that could be housed and become part of the repository of information at the LID Center.
I actually was, as the citizen monitoring coordinator for the state board, I managed a grant to a program called Adopt a Watershed, which has been exceptionally successful at integrating watershed education into the existing K-12 curricula, and had the opportunity to meet a lot of teachers and discover really directly how they do it. They're incredibly constrained by requirements for curricula at the state standards and all that, but the Adopt a Watershed program in particular was sensitive to that and found ways. That was one of their primary goals, was find ways not around that to work, but to work with that constraint. So,
yeah, and that's exactly the point, is that it is very difficult to get this type of information into the classroom. Mm-hmm. So we should be working through that pipeline, mm-hmm. Because there are other people that are breaking down those barriers and really working at integrating these essential and kind of urgent topics into classroom curriculum.
Yeah, and I suspect that the city of Lompoc can stand here and tell us today that they have a variety of programs like that that are ongoing, or perhaps on a you know, as needed basis. But I think what we need to see is more detail, like the chairman is saying, about what's included in those, and a stronger commitment to make those just standing items in the curriculum.
I have other comments on Section 2 and 3, but I'm happy to stand by if you have other comments.
I just have one more thought on this mm-hmm. section. Is it appropriate to have the city tell us how they would consider whether having any material, you know, presented in other languages besides English, you know, whether that would be appropriate or necessary?
I believe it would be. There's a large Spanish-speaking population in Lompoc that would benefit from bilingual.
I'm referring to the education kind of mm-hmm. component. You know, I assume that's K-12.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly we want kids to be speaking English primarily
mm-hmm.
when they receive, you know, their education. However, I just would like to see some discussion from the city as to how they considered that.
Okay.
you know, whether they felt it would or would not be appropriate. Dr. Hunter.
Thank you. In looking at this, I'm always very interested in the public education and outreach, but as opposed to public involvement, I just didn't see the kinds of things that we've been seeing from some of the other stormwater management plans. I see almost similar approach in Section 2, which is public involvement, which is an idea that more information and doing targeted outreach to specific groups, that this is a way of involving the public, and it certainly is, at least providing a good starting point for involvement. And I understand from staff's response to my questions on these issues that you feel that at this point, for the first 5 years, that they're presenting a plan that's going to move them in the right direction, and I agree with that. But I would like to just comment further that what I don't see here, and I know there were some revisions that address specifically the stormwater and grading ordinances and public input to that process, but I don't see really any steps that will allow interested stakeholders to be more involved with the development of the stormwater program and to get input along the way in the process over these 5 years. So I think I'll be brief. I just want to encourage the city to consider the importance of getting public input, because there are different impacts that are going to occur. A lot of them are going to incur costs. In some cases, it's going to change established practices and technical dimension of development. And you need to consider where and how those changes will affect the folks that are expected to carry out that change. And so, you know, while I respect the city's experience within their own community, and I understand from staff that discussion along these lines indicates that the city feels that in their community they haven't seen a great deal of interest to be active and right at the heart of decision making. That may change as this plan goes forward, and I hope the city will be receptive to the idea that bringing people into the process earlier than decision making points can be problematic, because people have legitimate questions and concerns, and the earlier they are addressed, the less challenging to be responsive. So I'm hoping that in the first annual report that we see some characterization of different ways in which public involvement is going to be increasing. Perhaps we can focus on the ordinance process, since it's been the time frame has been shortened, so we might see some response there from an interest and concerns coming out of that process. But again, public involvement is not public education and outreach, and that's all I see here right now.
Mr. Briggs?
Well, just to follow up on that, as Dr. Hunter said, we do have a revision on that point, and it's the very last one, number 21. And the required revision that we're recommending is add a BMP, best management practice, equivalent to the following. The city will solicit public comments on draft ordinances, provide sufficient time for the public to comment, and respond to comments by incorporating revisions to draft ordinances as appropriate. I think that was that mainly responsive to the Home Builders Association?
No, you know, that's I referred to that as the response to their concern, but I was wrong. The response to their concern is addressed in number 19. Number 21 is, in fact, more of a response to this issue, as pointed out among others, the Santa Barbara Channel Keeper. And we felt that we did indeed have to get a little more certainty about the ordinance process and how that was going to be made accessible and meaningful.
Okay. Any other board comments or questions? Mr. Briggs, should we move to...